Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening with the Highland Radio News at 5.30. I'm Ryan Brawley. A look at the headlines. Councillor Gary Doherty has been elected as the new Cathaoirleá of Donegal County Council, with Councillor Terry Crossan elected as last Cathaoirleá. The mother of a teenager killed in the Chrysler tragedy says the families now believe their best chance of securing a public inquiry is through Taoiseach Micheál Martin. A planning application is to be submitted to Donegal County Council for a major project at Windy Hall in Letterkenny, and the Taoiseach says people need to understand the impact a hard border on the island of Ireland would have on everyday life. All these stories in full and more coming up, and a full update of all the sport with Chris Ashmore at around 5:45. But first, Councillor Gary Doherty has been elected as the new Cathaoirleá of Donegal County Council, with Councillor Terry Crossan elected as last Cathaoirleá. During his acceptance speech, the new Cathaoirleá spoke openly about the importance of mental health and well-being. Reflecting on his own struggles, Councillor Doherty said there was a point in his life where holding the chain of office seemed impossible. He concluded with a powerful message: to anyone going through difficult times, there are brighter days ahead. Speaking after his election, Councillor Doherty said there are huge challenges facing Donegal and the council, and the challenge is to show the people of the county that the council can play a very real role in tackling them.
Affect the concrete blocks, housing crisis, we've got a cost of living crisis. We can affect positive change through this council chamber. You know, we can affect how government policy decisions are made through direct action here in the council chamber. The other important aspect of being mayor is that you're representing the county, whether that's at a local community event in Fannad or welcoming a cruise ship in Killybegs or opening a new play park in West Donegal. These are the things that people on the ground need to see, that the council is there representing them, and that's what I hope to do over the next 12 months.
And a big part of Donegal County Council now is cross-border work with Derry City and Strabane District Council. How are you looking forward to working with your counterpart, the mayor there?
Over the last probably two decades, the relationship between Donegal County Council and Derry City Strabane District Council has been probably the best working relationship between any two councils on this island. And I think it's important that we continue to build on that in the year ahead. There are exciting times ahead, particularly for us here. You know, when we look at, we're in Lifford here today, we've got the Riverine project, which is going to be a transformational project for Lifford and for East Donegal and West Tyrone. You know, these are the sort of things that the collaboration between the two councils have achieved, and hopefully going forward we can continue to deliver new exciting projects such as that.
The mother of a teenager killed in the Chrysler tragedy almost 4 years ago says the families now believe their best chance of securing a public inquiry is through Taoiseach Micheál Martin. The Justice Minister, Jim O'Callaghan, has again stressed he will not initiate a public inquiry until the Garda investigation is complete and any possible prosecutions have been completed. However, campaigners argue there is precedence. On today's Greg Hughes show, Donna Harper, who lost her daughter Leona in the tragedy, says they'll be stressing to the Taoiseach that there are serious and pressing questions which need to be answered.
We're just waiting on a date now from the Taoiseach. He has said that he's going to meet us, so we're just waiting on that date. And of course, we're going to be calling for this public inquiry. So important. We're coming into 4 years here. We have no answers. There's so many important questions that lie outside of the Garda criminal investigation. There has been public inquiries run alongside Garda investigations before. So why is the government holding back and not giving us that inquiry now when there's so many important questions?
A planning application is to be submitted to Donegal County Council for a 10-year permission to build 346 accommodation units and a creche and a neighbourhood centre at Windy Hall in Letterkenny. The accommodation units would be a mix of 2- and 3-bed duplex apartments and 2-, 3- and 4-bedroom houses. The application is being made under the provisions for large-scale residential development in the Planning and Development Act. Donna Marie Doherty has more.
The application is for 10 one-bedroom, 123 two-bedroom and 42 three-bedroom duplex apartments, along with 98 two-bedroom, 53 three-bedroom and 20 four-bedroom dwellings. The application also provides for a new link road, which would facilitate part of the Northern Network project. There is a commitment to the provision of car parking and the development of outdoor recreation areas and gardens, along with formal play areas. The application, in the name of Windy Hall Development, says environment impact impact assessments and natura assessments have already been prepared and they can be inspected along with planning application. ESB substations and the new wastewater pumping station are also provided for.
The Taoiseach says people need to understand the impact a hard border on the island of Ireland would have on everyday life. A Red Sea poll for the Business Post published over the weekend found 36% of voters would support border checks with Northern Ireland to prevent onward migration from the UK. Micheál Martin says he believes many people expressing support for a hard border have not considered the practical implications. He says the majority of people would quickly oppose such a move if physical border infrastructure and checks were ever reintroduced.
We have to be careful of opinion polls. The point is, does someone actually know what a hard border means? It's only when it would manifest itself that you would have a lot of people opposing it, when they would find our movement impeded and so on like that.
The Foreign Affairs Minister says Ireland is prepared to assume the EU presidency from Wednesday. The Government Trade Forum met today to discuss defence in both cybersecurity and military security, while also discussing Ireland's competitiveness in Europe. Today's meeting surrounded the presidency of the Council of the European Union. And Minister Helen McEntee says the country will be prepared to defend against any attacks.
Secondly on the agenda then is a particular emphasis on security and defence and resilience. And I think really this is an area that has come to the fore in recent years. And when I meet with not just the forum, but when I meet with representatives on an individual basis, when I meet with businesses on an individual basis, they are keen to discuss with me how we can ensure as a country and as industries and businesses they are more resilient.
Enterprise Minister Peter Burke has expressed concern at the prospect of a tourist tax being imposed on hotel accommodation by local authorities. Hoteliers in Donegal have expressed concern at the prospect, and speaking on the Greg Hughes Show this morning, Mr. Burke said he believes new taxes should only be levied in instances where the sector is in growth, and that is not the case here. Mr. Burke was speaking on the Greg Hughes Show about the new 9% VAT rate, which comes into effect on Wednesday for restaurants and cafe food catering services, hot takeaway food served in pubs, and hairdressing services. Accommodation is excluded from the reduced rate. Mr. Burke says recent figures show there are pressure on the hospitality sector, particularly in rural areas.
I think it will make a lot of businesses viable that are currently under pressure. If you look at the data in the hospitality sector, particularly that was published by the CSO over the last quarter, which shows a reduction of 8.8% in employment. Of all the 13 sectors in the economy that are growing, this is one that is critically under pressure. This was an annual argument at the budgetary process. Now it's off the table. It's a permanent measure and will allow businesses plan accordingly, but also gives them a bit more back in their margin. And we've that aligned with our new tourism policy, a new era for Irish tourism, which we'll be looking for 7% growth in visitor numbers and spend over the coming years to 2031. And again, that will give a huge amount of economic benefit to many rural communities right across our country.
If you don't mind, just a quick question, what your view is on a tourism tax? We've been speaking to some local hoteliers here that are concerned if we're not clear whether it would be just tourists, whether it would be internal travel, whether or not it could apply, you know, in Donegal as it might in Dublin, where it seems to be addressing a Dublin problem. Where are you at in that conversation?
Well, first of all, I would share their concern. I think Irish tourism last year had a very difficult year. My instinct would be, as someone who has a lot of experience in taxation, is that you have to ensure a sector is growing before you put additional taxes on it. And critically for the hospitality sector, you know, we need to remain competitive. I have been speaking to a lot of international buyers who bring tourists into Ireland, a lot of those travel operators, and they're very concerned about competitiveness and our price or value proposition. So we have to be very careful on this.
Concerns are being raised over how hospitals are choosing to spend on security. A collective €42 million has been spent by the six largest hospitals in the country on security in 2024 and 2025. The new figures follow rising concerns regarding violence in hospitals, with around 30,000 assaults taking place against healthcare staff over the past 5 years. Sinn Féin's health spokesperson David Cullinan says while spending on care is important, workers' safety also needs to be prioritised.
The question in relation to the security spend is how much of that is direct spend, as in employees hired by the hospital, because I think that's a better use of taxpayers' money. And I have been calling for some time now for hospitals to directly hire more security personnel to ensure that they have enough security on site in hospitals to protect patients, but more importantly, because of the number of reported incidents, to protect frontline healthcare workers. I think we do need, of course, additional investment in our health services, but that can't come at the expense chance of undermining the protections which exist for those who work in our hospitals. What needs to happen is that we put the resources into beds, put the resources into hospital equipment, put the resources into staff to reduce the pressures which exist in hospitals. And if we reduce those pressures, I think we will see a reduction in the number of assaults.
The Justice Minister is being urged to talk to representatives of solicitors over planned changes to fees. A flat rate is due to be introduced on Wednesday for criminal legal aid solicitors. Jim O'Callaghan's indicated he is looking to increase the original proposal of €455. However, Cathy McDarby from McDarby & Co. says the minister needs to talk to those opposed to the new system.
In family law, there is the Legal Aid Board, which is picking up the slack, which is now overworked, it's under-resourced, and that is what has been proposed here. A system that has, anybody will tell you, has failed for family is now being, they want to impose it for crime. I can't get the logic of that. That's the worst part of this. He hasn't heard the protests and he hasn't listened to us because all he is doing is reacting. If he sat down and spoke to us and actually listened, I note that the Law Society wrote to the minister last Friday week. They haven't had a response. They wrote to the department. They haven't had a response.
The Roads Minister, Sean Canney, is backing calls to close a driving ban loophole for fatal traffic offences. Currently, people convicted of dangerous driving causing death are disqualified from driving for a period beginning the day of their sentencing, meaning much of the ban is served by the time their prison sentence is over. The new law would ensure the ban doesn't commence until the sentence is complete. Vice President of the Irish Road Victims Association, Leo Leguio, welcomes the measure but says more needs to be done.
Ireland's seen the road deaths increase while many other European countries have reduced them, and that's all down to enforcement and bringing in the implementation of the measures that will save lives. Like other countries can do it, why can't we? We once leaders in road safety, now we're dropping down the list rapidly. These are real people, they're not just numbers and statistics. They're faces to us, their parents, their siblings, their grandparents, their children, and it shouldn't be happening and it can be prevented.
The DUP leader says it's clear there are former and current members of his party who had information about Geoffrey Donaldson's conduct, which they did not share. Gavin Robinson's words come with Mr. Donaldson in custody, awaiting sentencing after being convicted of serial sexual offences against children. TUV leader Jim Allister says a Democratic Unionist Party internal review must be robust.
So review can be one of two types. It can be a mere stalling tactic, or it can be thoroughgoing, totally unfettered and capable of delivering the truth.
The Oireachtas Fisheries Committee is asking Marine Minister Timmy Dooley to set up an aquaculture forum, bringing together all interested parties. For the past 2 weeks, the committee has been hearing from environmentalists who oppose salmon farming in the open water and argue it should be done on land. And the aquaculture sector, which argues it is subject to very strict regulation and its practices are safe. At a previous meeting, environmentalists told the committee that it takes 5 grams of sea life to sustain 1 gram of farmed salmon, depriving humans of that food. That's been questioned by the IFA Aquaculture Committee Vice Chair, Catherine McManus.
It's very difficult for us to compete with other producers in other countries, so it made sense for Irish producers to pivot along the organic route. So what does organic mean? Organic salmon farming. What it means for us is that the fish are reared in lower densities. The feed is a very important input. All the ingredients must be organic. There's a high component of organic vegetables in it, like peas, beans, sunflower. The fish meal and oil components are all from trimmings meal. They don't come from any other sources other than trimmings of fish that were already caught for human consumption. And these are certified by 3 different independent organic bodies. There are other constraints on treatments, chemical use, antifoulants. So it's a very different way of farming compared to other jurisdictions. And that's worked for Ireland. We have a heightened awareness on issues surrounding water quality. We know from the Environmental Protection Agency, the monitoring that they do, the bays that we operate in have good to high water quality status. And we're not considered a significant pressure in those ways. If we were to go 100% on land, just bear in mind that 40% of our cycle is actually reared on land at the moment, and it's finished off in the sea. If you were to do that 100% on land, the energy requirements would be massive, and you would significantly increase the global warming potential of the food product, which doesn't make any sense.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports. Find all your GAA essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 14 minutes to 6 here in Highland Radio, and it's over to the sports desk where we say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Thank you, and we begin with soccer. The FAI have confirmed that Ireland's home game with Israel will be played behind closed doors in Serbia. The board had requested to switch the game to a neutral venue due to operational challenges. It will now take place at the TSC Arena on the 4th of October, with further details to be confirmed in the coming days. And this all follows confirmation of the reverse fixture being played in Hungary. The association says it will contact season ticket holders over compensation in due course. Well, Chelsea have hit out at their former manager Enzo Maresca following his appointment at Manchester City. The club claimed that he showed a strong desire to succeed Pep Guardiola while still under contract at Stamford Bridge. Maresca has since apologised and admitted that his resignation opened a path to join City. However, he says it was neither his intention or wish. It's understood Chelsea will be paid around £17 million in compensation as part of the deal. In the World Cup this evening, Brazil and Japan will be the first teams of the day to lock horns. They play in the round of 32, that match due to get underway in about 13 minutes' time. Tonight's other games will see Germany taking on Paraguay at 9:30, while overnight the Netherlands take on a strong Morocco side. The Dutch captain, Virgil van Dijk, says they're wary of their opponents.
Against a team with a lot of quality, one of the best right backs in world football at the moment. I think you have a striker in Saibari who's obviously very much in form, had a great season, experienced goalie, good manager. These are the games you want to be part of.
Well, in Gaelic games, Louth and Mayo will play the first of this year's All-Ireland Senior Football Championship semi-finals. The two sides will square off in Croke Park on July the 11th at 6 o'clock, with the Tailteann Cup final between Wicklow and Down on beforehand at 3:30. The following day, title holders Kerry will look to book their place in back-to-back deciders when they meet Dublin at GAA headquarters, with a 4 o'clock throw-in for that one. In tennis, Wimbledon is up and running, and it went down to five sets between defending champion, the Italian Jannik Sinner, and Serbian Mihomira Ketamanovic. Sinner was two sets down, but eventually won 4-6, 6-3, 6-7, 6-2, 6-3. The opening day has pulled up some other shock results, including the 11th seed Casper Ruud and 12th seed Andrei Rublev both eliminated. In the women's draw, Arina Sabalenka has just begun her campaign, while Coco Gauff is among the late starters. In golf, English teenager Alaira Hirinirakaraka Iwerwan, who was born in Enniskillen, well, she became the first winner of the North of Ireland Women's Amateur Open Championship as she battled back from a difficult start to steal the win at Lochearn. And in American football, next Saturday, the Vipers from here in the Northwest host the West Dublin Rhinos in the Harp Bowl semi-final, with a place in the 2026 Harp Bowl Championship game on the line. Having completed one of their best seasons in their history with an impressive 7-1 regular season record, the Vipers have earned the right to host a home playoff game. Victory would see them progress to the final in Athlone on the 18th of July, and there'll be more about that this coming weekend. In motorsport, Kerry Motor Club has filled its entry list for the new Rose Hotel Kerry Summer Mini Stages Rally. The event has reached its maximum capacity of 140 competing crews who will tackle six stages in the Castle Island area this coming Sunday. And in cricket, Gary Wilson has been named as the new Ireland head coach following the departure of Heinrich Malan. The South African had led Ireland to back-to-back wins over India in a T20 series test over the recent days. He had held the role for 4 years prior to his exit. Finally, don't forget the DL debate this evening. Pádraig Hilferty will be joined by Michael McMullen of Gaelic Life and also Highland regular analyst Brendan Kilcoyne, as they discuss all matters GAA, and not least Donegal's year and the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship campaign as it has panned out. Plus a look at where things are in the All-County League. That's the DL debate following the news at 7. But from the sports desk, Ryan, that's it for this evening.
Thank you very much, Chris. The Northwest Learning City Region project has been formalised, with backers saying it reflects a shared commitment to advancing lifelong learning on both sides of the border. A memorandum of understanding was signed at the weekend by Ulster University, Atlantic Technological University, Derry City and Strabane District Council and Donegal County Council. With more, here's Katie Gillen.
The partnership builds on the existing Derry City and Strabane Learning City designation, part of UNESCO's global network of learning cities, and establishes a clear framework for improved access to learning, skills development and enhanced social and economic outcomes across the Northwest. This formal partnership follows the successful relaunch of the Northwest Learning City Region and Lifelong Learning Festival, reinforcing the collective ambition of institutions across the region to creating a culture of continuous learning and opportunity for all. The event featured the formal MOU signing with contributions from partners and community voices, including Derry City and Strabane District Council Mayor Councillor Gracie Neelish and outgoing Donegal County Council Cathaoirleach Councillor Paul Canning, who shared insights on the benefits of a collaborative region-wide approach to lifelong learning. Councillor Canning said that by working together across sectors and communities, they are strengthening a shared vision of a region where everyone has the chance to learn, grow and thrive.
A recovered gambling addict says significant work is needed to tackle the culture of gambling in Ireland. From Wednesday, the Gambling Regulatory Authority will be issuing licences for remote and online bookmakers. The authority will be able to apply for a court order directing illegal operators to cease their operations. Daniel Coulter was affected by gambling addiction for a decade and believes it's a public health issue.
There's a lot of people out there in society that can gamble, have a bet at the weekend, and it never amounts into any sort of a problem. But there is a, you know, a percentage of people in court out there who do get into bother with this. But I think we need a lot more safety and support and awareness around it, because it is a public health issue.
Children have missed out on nearly 360,000 public dentist appointments in 5 years. HSE figures published by the Irish Independent show almost a third of kids who should have been seen in the last academic year were not. The Irish Dental Association has accused the health service of neglecting the recruitment and retention of dentists. Chief Executive Fintan Hurahan says the people currently working in public dental surgeries are doing their best.
Children should be seen 3 times in primary school. That goes back to 1994. Now most of them, if they're lucky, will be seen in sixth class, when many of them will be on the cusp of their teenage years. You know, it's a pretty damning indictment. Their primary focus is on children. They also see special care patients. But, you know, the numbers of children who ought to be seen 3 times in primary school is completely overwhelming when you look at the numbers of dentists in the service. So, like, we've barely 300 dentists for the entirety of the country. So there's no way that they will ever be able to see all those children as things stand.
Donald Trump's appeal to overturn a verdict finding him liable for sexually assaulting and defaming E. Jean Carroll has been declined by the United States Supreme Court. Justices have refused to hear the US president's appeal against the $5 million verdict made by a jury in 2023. He had argued it was the result of an unfair trial. Sky's David Blevins outlines the accusations made by Miss Jean Carroll.
She alleged that he had assaulted her in the changing room of a department store back in 1996, and that he had then defamed her when he returned to office by describing her allegations as a hoax and a con job.
And the weather: showers this evening, possibly prolonged and heavy. Tonight will be cloudy with further spells of rain moving in. Lowest temperatures of 11 to 14 degrees with light to moderate southerly winds increasing fresh at times. Tomorrow will start off cloudy with showery rain. Rain will clear eastwards with sunshine and showers following. Some of those showers will be heavy. Showers will become more isolated from the west later. Highest temperatures tomorrow 16 to 20 degrees with light to moderate southerly winds veering west to northwesterly. A look back on today's main stories. Councillor Gary Doherty has been elected as the new Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council, with Councillor Terry Crossan elected as last Cathaoirleach. During his acceptance speech, the new Cathaoirleach spoke openly about the importance of mental health and well-being, reflecting on his own struggles. Councillor Doherty said there was a point in his life where holding the chain of office seemed impossible. He concluded with a powerful message to anyone going through difficult times that there are brighter days ahead. Well, speaking after his election, Councillor Doherty said there are huge challenges facing Donegal and the council, and the challenge is to show people of the county that the council can play a very real role in tackling them. The mother of a teenager killed in the Chrysler tragedy almost 4 years ago says the families now believe their best chance of securing a public inquiry is through Taoiseach Micheál Martin. The Justice Minister, Jim O'Callaghan, has again stressed he will not initiate a public inquiry until the Garda investigation is complete and any possible prosecutions have also been completed. However, campaigners argue there is precedent. On today's Greg Hughes show, Donna Harper, who lost her daughter Leona in the tragedy, says they'll be stressing to the Taoiseach that there are serious and pressing questions which need to be answered. A planning application is to be submitted to Donegal County Council for a 10-year permission to build 346 accommodation units and a creche and neighbourhood centre at Windy Hall in Letterkenny. The accommodation units would be a mix of 2- and 3-bed duplex apartments and 2-, 3- and 4-bedroom houses. The application is being made under the provisions for large-scale residential development in the Planning and Development Act. And the Taoiseach says people need to understand the impact a hard border on the island of Ireland would have on everyday life. A Red Sea poll for the Business Post published over the weekend found 36% of voters would support border checks with Northern Ireland to prevent onward migration from the UK. Micheál Martin says he believes many people expressing support for a hard border have not considered the practical implications. He says the majority of the people would quickly oppose such a move if physical border infrastructure and checks were ever reintroduced. And that's all for the newsroom for now. We'll be back with news in full again at 7 o'clock.
The obituary notices this Monday evening, June the 29th. The death has taken place of John McGreenra, Terman and Kilmacrennan, reposing at the Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Carnamugga, Letterkenny today until 8 p.m. and tomorrow from 5 p.m. until 8 p.m. with removal at 8 p.m. tomorrow evening to the family home, which is strictly private pleas at the request of the deceased. Funeral to St Columbus Church Kilmacrennan on Wednesday for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass. Burial afterwards in St Columbus Church Graveyard, Termon. Donations in lieu of flowers to Coronary Care, Letterkenny University Hospital or Donegal Hospice. The death has taken place of Joseph E. McGinley, née Brady, The Quay, Trahoman, Milford, formerly Drimna Raw, Chrysla. House strictly private, reposing at St Peter's Church in Milford. Requiem Mass tomorrow at 11 a.m. Burial afterwards in Milford Cemetery. Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family flowers only. Donations, if desired, to Mary's Meals, care of any family member, or Patrick Sweeney Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Marion McDade, Nate Duffy, Carnamaddy, Dunfanaghy. Her remains are reposing at her late residence today until 10 p.m. Funeral Mass in St Michael's Church Chrysla tomorrow at 12 noon, with burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed on mcn.live. Family time please from 10 p.m. tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or James Harkin Funeral Directors. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.